baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Parker Thune. Portal time. Season's over. We've got a lot to talk about. Retention, who OU is going to go after, who we think they should go after. Obviously, the Cam Coleman situation is going to be something we're going to talk about on this podcast. Parker, I'm just going to say it right here, right now, before we get to the thanking our sponsors. I'm in the world of you go after two instead of one, two big-time guys instead of one, because there's some really big-time players that could potentially get into the portal. I think is going to get into the portal. We've heard is going to get into the portal as it continues to progress. For the amount of money you're going to be able to pay Cam Coleman, we can talk about that, obviously, but I'm going to get that. I'm going to bury the lead and give my opinion out already so people can get in the comments and say how stupid I am to start off with that. I don't know, man, but it's there is a lot going on with the portal in Oklahoma right now. It's going to be a fun podcast. Fun podcast.
Be a fun couple of weeks, no doubt, especially because it feels, we've talked about this dynamic before, Brandon, it feels like Oklahoma is just kind of adding here and there to what already is a championship nucleus. Or I shouldn't say a championship nucleus, a nucleus that's capable of competing for a championship. They don't have any under their belt yet. They haven't played for one yet, but I think we all understand the key pieces are there for Oklahoma to be right back in the college football playoff in 2026. Now it's just about adding the proverbial bells and whistles, as opposed to past years where Oklahoma has entered portal season with some very obvious, very glaring needs that have to be filled.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, before, I know people that are watching on YouTube, backdrop's different. Family, father-in-law has everybody up here at a cabin in Colorado. Spending some time doing that during the holidays, but work does not stop because portal and off season never stop. There is no such thing as off season, as one Josh Pate says on his podcast all the time. And that is actually very true. There's no such thing as off season in college football anymore. So for those that are wondering, that is why the backdrop's different, because I know there's going to be people in the comments that say that. So just throwing that out there to start. Before we get into everything, Parker, we need to thank our sponsors, our title sponsors, all that, for allowing us to do this podcast.
Yes, indeed, folks. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor. You know where it's at, right off of I-35 and Highway 9. It's been the OKC area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Shout out as well to our folks at Janiking. Janiking is the greatest team to ever clean, and a proud partner of OU Athletics, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. So check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to janiking.com. That's J-A-N-I-K-I-N-G.com.
All right. Look, let's get right to it. Everybody wants to talk about Cam Coleman.
Let's talk about Cam Coleman.
It's the big story of the day, obviously. It was something that everybody knew. This was no secret that this dude was likely going to get in the portal. I know that there were some reports the day, which was weird, from a very, very good reporter, which was the other crazy part. And for him to come out and say it, I'm not going to name names or anything, and say that Cam Coleman is leaning towards staying, there had to have been valid truth to him leaning towards staying at the time. Like I believe that because Parker, you and I understand how fluid these things are behind the scenes.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Trust me.
Fast. They flip.
Yeah. This time of year, stuff is chaotic. Absolutely nothing is a certainty unless you're dealing with a guy that already has his contract for next year signed and finalized. And until you get to that point, until the ink is dry, man, anything goes. And things can change at the drop of a hat and do with regularity.
And as such, it changed at a drop of a hat, obviously. But leading up to even that report, like there was so much buzz, Cam Coleman, during the season, like there had to have been his agency throwing out feelers to everybody. Because we heard about it, fans heard about it. It was the top of a conversation on our message board, like Cam Coleman in the portal, Oklahoma being interested, all that type of stuff. Month before he even got into the portal, fans were talking about it on our message board. So this wasn't a secret. This thing came out, and here we are. Obviously, there has been a report out that two teams that we have talked about probably being in the ethos of his recruitment being Texas and Texas A&M. You kind of felt that was going to be two players there because of who they were losing already. And the quarterbacks that they have, Marcel Reed, obviously Arch Manning, you would think that there would be some sort of interest there. And as Pete Nako said, he's looking for places that have a solidified quarterback. Well, Oklahoma has a solidified quarterback, one that threw for over 300 yards his last game out. Man, I'll let you dive into it. I'll just say this. Oklahoma, and we said this earlier, like you can go back and listen to the podcast, Parker, and we said there's a wide receiver out there that Oklahoma has set aside millions of dollars for. Welcome to the show, OU fans. This is who we were talking about the whole time. They have set aside millions of dollars to be a player in this. Now, and Parker, you're going to dive so much more into this than I am, but I don't know, man. Like, the amount of money they set aside, great. I'm of the opinion that you could go grab some really big-time wide receivers to go and have more depth, be more than a three wide receiver rotation and feel comfortable with that. If you go and grab, and we're not talking about just run of the mill guys, we're talking about people that were getting accolades after the season, freshman All-Americans, all that type of stuff that you could grab if they do get in the portal like we think they're going to, and be the other side of Satania and keep them for multiple years instead of a one-year rental that you pay $2 to $3 million for Cam Coleman. What if you're OU, what do you think is the best fit, Parker?
Look, I'm very much of the opinion that if there's a Cam Coleman on the market and you have the funds to go make a run at Cam Coleman, you make a run at Cam Coleman. That's because fair. How often are you going to find a true game changer in the portal at a premium position like wide receiver? You can make a case, Brandon, you can make a case that Cam Coleman is the second most talented wide receiver in college football behind Jeremiah Smith. Now, there are plenty of other guys that have a case, but the point is Cam Coleman is right there in the thick of the discussion, and guys like that don't pop on the market every day or every year for that matter. So this is a unique opportunity for Oklahoma and several other schools to bring in not just a high impact guy, but a potential All-American type guy at a position, Brandon, where there are so many decent players out there. There are so many good players out there. There are very few special players that are of Coleman's ilk. And so, in my opinion, could Oklahoma take the same amount of money that they have earmarked for Coleman and go get two or three solid options elsewhere in the portal? Guys with starting experience at the P4 level, guys that have produced, guys that can contribute, sure. But they're not going to make the type of impact that a guy like Cam Coleman has the potential to make by virtue of his sheer presence. Because when Cam Coleman is on the field, you have to account for the Cam Coleman factor. Cam Coleman is the type of receiver that strikes fear into the hearts of the opposition. Cam Coleman is a guy that, you know, he can beat you on any and every snap if you give him the opportunity. And we saw this happen in Norman. We saw it with our very eyes. Cam Coleman should have had no fewer than 3 touchdown catches against Oklahoma when Auburn came to town in mid-September. Unfortunately, Jackson Arnold couldn't get him the football, at least not on target. And so because of how drastically this can impact the entire offensive calculus in 2026 and how opponents will have to game plan for Oklahoma, I'm very much of the opinion that you go full send after Coleman and hope that what you have set aside in terms of the funds is enough. Because I use this analogy today on the radio. I guess it's not really an analogy. It's a quip from Cat Williams. A Chrysler 300 looks like a Phantom till a Phantom pulls up, right? And so is Oklahoma, like, are they willing to... Are they willing and able to be a phantom in this pursuit, in this process? Or when the big, big spenders of college football, the teams that spend money indiscriminately because they can, the likes of Texas Tech and Texas A&M and Oregon and Miami, when those types of schools start to get involved, do things get a little too rich for OU's taste? Does the asking price blow so far past what Oklahoma thinks is reasonable that they have no choice financially but to bow out and allocate those funds elsewhere? I don't know the answer. We probably won't know the answer until Coleman can officially get into the portal on January 2nd and just see how things unfold in the days thereafter. But Oklahoma's going to take their shot, as well they should. I'm glad they're being aggressive. I'm keeping expectations pretty modest now as far as the outcome, because as we recognize that this is a very unique opportunity to add an elite game changer at a position where there are very few elite game changers, there are dozens of other schools across the country at the P4 level that also recognize that opportunity and will be willing to deploy resources to try and get a seat at the table.
Hey, Sooners and Sports fans, we will get you right back to the podcast. But first, we want to give a huge shout out to one of our sponsors, SeatGeek. It is a great time to go and see live sporting events right now. On SeatGeek, you have great ticket prices going on right now for this Friday night's OU-Alabama home playoff game. If not that game, maybe you want to go and support your OU men's and women's basketball team. That's right. They are the Bedlam champs right now. Maybe you like NFL and NBA, which is rocking and rolling right now. That's right. You can not only get OU college football playoff home tickets on SeatGeek, but you can also get NBA tickets for the hometown defending champs if you live in Oklahoma. You can also get World Cup tickets with one of the world's largest sporting events right down the road in Dallas this summer. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. SeatGeek is the official marketplace for the Oklahoma Sooners, so all Sooners tickets on SeatGeek are authentic and secure. I love using SeatGeek. I used it this past week to make sure we got college football playoff tickets for my family. SeatGeek is not just a place to buy tickets, but also a place to check and make sure you're getting a good deal on your purchase. So if you're wondering if you're spending too much or being overpriced, SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated from a scale 1 to 10, so you know if you're getting a good deal. So look for the green dot, which green means good, or red dot, which means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. So after all of that, make sure you go to SeatGeek.com and use the promo code OUINSIDER. That's right. It gets you 10% off any ticket with the promo code OUINSIDER on your next ticket purchase. Make sure you click the link in the description, download the app below, and have that code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Thank you, SeatGeek. So I agree with you that you have to at least test the waters with Cam Coleman to see where your money is at, right? Where you sit at the table, whether it's $2 million, $2.5 million, $3 million. And I look, again, Oklahoma has set aside millions, and we say that plural so that you understand where Oklahoma stands, and they fully understand the gravity of this situation, the gravitas of it all. And at the same time, if you walk out here on this porch and you look down, you can see the University of Colorado. Literally, you can see the University of Colorado. That's where we're at. It's like right above Boulder. And you can see downtown Denver. Well, there is a wide receiver that has been linked to Oklahoma, potentially, allegedly, right? We've said that right now, allegedly. Amari Miller, right? What did he have, like 900 yards last year? Something to that extent. It's a very similar season as Isaiah Cetania. There's a wide receiver that isn't in the portal yet that Oklahoma is linked to that has a chance to be much like Cam Coleman, one of the better wide receivers in all of college football before his time's up. And we right now fully expect him to get in the portal. And if he does get in the portal, we think that Oklahoma is sitting right there at the cusp, at the top of his pecking order of where he would like to go. No, I'm just leaving it at that. And there are going to be some that know who I'm talking about because they're on OU Insider and they've seen things. If you could get those two, would that not be, and I understand, I get what you're coming from, would that not be similar to getting a Cam Coleman at all in your mind?
No, I don't think it's the same thing.
It's close though, right? Like it's close. Like if, just output.
Yeah, okay. Right? Output. Output is one thing. But again, I'm thinking more along the lines of the impact that Cam Coleman or a guy like Cam Coleman can have on the rest of the offense. How much easier he can make everyone's lives virtue of his presence on the field. It's not just about what shows up in the stat sheet with Cam Coleman. It's about the opportunities that abound elsewhere on the football field because so much of the opposition's energy and focus is going to be devoted to containing Cam Coleman and making sure that guy doesn't beat you.
Okay, I was just trying to figure out where you're used to. Okay, so I'm looking at output. I totally agree with you on you have to account for him. It makes life easier for Isaiah Cetania. Now, those other the other players that I talked about, Amari Miller and the other unnamed player, I think would do similar. They just wouldn't do it to the level of Cam Coleman, and I totally agree with you on that because they haven't made the plays that Cam Coleman's made on the level that Cam Coleman's made it in on the stage that Cam Coleman's made it at Auburn. And yeah, Auburn hasn't been great during his time, but they've played in some pretty big ball games and against some really good teams, and Cam Coleman's made those teams look pretty foolish at times, and that's the difference. So I guess it gets down to, if you were a betting man, would you bet Oklahoma to get a visit out of Cam Coleman?
Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Like at this point, and I've very intentionally had this conversation and asked this question to several different sources over the last few days, you know, people who deal with these situations and people who are heavily involved in the whole portal process in general. I've been posing the question the last few days, hey, do visits even matter anymore? Like, are visits really going to have that much of an impact on a guy's decision? Or especially when you're only dealing with one portal window and it's 14 days, which is a very condensed timeline in and of itself.
Yeah.
Is it just kind of going to be a case where guys already have deals lined up at certain places when they hit the portal, and that's going to be where they go unless a better deal comes? Like, is it purely going to be a money game because of how little time you have to process the entire decision-making aspect of things in that two-week span that the portal window is open? And the feedback I've gotten, Brandon, has been, yeah, you know, that'll probably be the case with the majority of guys, is that they won't take multiple visits. They will have an idea of where they're headed just based on the financial component when they get in the portal, And that will be that. There will be certain recruitments. There will be certain players that have a desire to see multiple schools before they lock in decisions, or maybe the money's roughly equal at three or four different spots and they want to make sure they feel at home at whatever spot they wind up choosing. But let's say just for the sake of the hypothetical that Oklahoma brings in, let's go with a nice round number. Let's say they bring in 10 players via the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that six or seven of those guys just sign, you know, or I should say, don't take additional visits beyond Oklahoma. And it has always been the case throughout the entirety, throughout the duration of the NIL portal era, Brandon, that you'd rather have the first visit than the last one because mm-hmm. of the very distinct possibility that a guy just decides to shut it down, or he likes the deal that he has lined up NIL wise to certain school and he just signs and that's that. And Oklahoma has been the beneficiary of situations along those lines, and they've been victimized by situations along yeah. those lines and circumstances where they didn't get the first visit. So, man, I don't know how many visits Cam Coleman will take. And so would I bet that Oklahoma gets a visit? I wouldn't. Does that necessarily mean Oklahoma doesn't get Cam Coleman? No. But especially with a guy like that who's going to be able to command a very, very hefty price and is going to have a ton of suitors after him, yeah. I think at a certain point that the dollar signs are going to be what splits the hairs, because practically speaking, when you're a wide receiver one with Coleman's skill set and you're going to get force fed the ball no matter where you go, what is the difference, let's say, between catching passes from John Mateer at Oklahoma and Marcel Reed at Texas A&M? Do you feel like there's enough of a discrepancy there between those two options that you're going to sooner make a decision based on that than you are on an extra $400,000, $500,000 from one of those schools?
So that said, I agree with you. I just think if you're Oklahoma, you would like to get him, because dollars matter. You are correct on that. And it's probably going to play the biggest factor in this whole deal along the lines of who the quarterback is, right? Like, do you have a returning quarterback? Does the system fit? All that stuff. I think where OU wins a lot of these battles is you get him around the culture, the team, all that. And if you could get him in, and let's say he's visited Texas, Texas A&M, LSU, and he loves it, and those are the three schools, but he gives Oklahoma a chance. I think if you can get him in town, I think that's where OU can make up ground. They can get in front, because there's something to be said. And we've seen this time and time again with Oklahoma, where we're like, man, the kid's going to visit, but we'll see what happens. Kid shows up and he's like, yeah, I'm going to Oklahoma, because they love the culture. They love everything that there is about OU and everything they can, I don't know, everything that encompasses what Brent Venables has created around the University of Oklahoma. And so I feel like that will play a factor if they can get him in. It's the if is the big deal. On the flip side, the money side of it all, what do you think it's going to cost? I'm going to say between $2.25 and $3 million.
Yeah, it would not shock me if this price tag eventually crept north of $3 million.
It wouldn't either, me, but I'm lowballing it probably a little bit.
This could be the deal that resets. This probably will be the deal that resets the market at the wide receiver position. Like, this will probably be the richest deal ever handed out in the portal era to a wide receiver, because Cam Coleman is that good and that impactful. Yeah. So I also think whatever the number is, the exact number is that Oklahoma has bankrolled for Cam Coleman, they're probably going to have to put a few more coins in that piggy bank before it's all said and done. I doubt their first price is their last price.
You're probably right. So
and even that may not be the winning price.
There's a good chance of that too. That said, if there is, let's say they don't win out. If I'm Oklahoma, and I know I'm going to say this, compliance won't get mad at me for saying this. It's just the reality of the situation today. If I'm Oklahoma, I find an agent of some of these big name wide receivers out there. If you've already got the money earmarked for a wide receiver, go get a damn wide receiver and go get a good one. If you miss out on Cam Coleman, there's going to be somebody that's going to take $2.5-3 million that's worth it out there. I can think of another or two off the top of my head. There's been buzz about a couple others that we've talked about, and it's going to be interesting to see if all that plays out, much like this Cam Coleman situation, when things come to pass and bowl season's over and all that. Because that's essentially what the holdup is for a lot of these guys, right? Bowl season, playoffs. There's so much still going on. And OU fans and college football fans alike, Parker, are sitting there going, why hasn't this guy gotten the portal? We've heard buzz about this guy. Because they're going to play in their game. You're not going to get the portal as a primetime player until your season's over. That's just how it works. Would you not do that if you were Oklahoma? If you have an earmark, just or use it on a defensive tackle that maybe you could get in the portal to get in the rotation. And once David Stone and Jaden Jackson decide they're going to the NFL, you still have that person the next year.
Yeah, you're going to have to start thinking about defensive tackle and making plans for the post-Jaden Jackson, David Stone era, because I think most everyone would concede there is a world where both of those guys are gone after their junior season to the NFL. In fact,
almost guarantee it.
Yeah, I know it's early. I know that's a long way off. We're still a year out from having to deal with that in an immediate sense, but you could argue right now, a year out, that feels like a likelihood. And it does to me. But yeah, no, that's a position you're going to have to start thinking about as far as what the long-term future looks like. Can we talk about Hayden Hansen at the tight end position?
We can.
Because at 6'8", 270 pounds, if the Florida transfer is a guy that Oklahoma can seal the deal with, and there's been a lot of buzz, as we have discussed at OUinsider.com regarding OU and Hayden Hansen, if they can lock that guy down, Brandon, that's a highly, highly impactful pickup. Because when you think about the portal tight ends that Oklahoma has brought in throughout the Brent Venables era to this point, let me rattle them off for you. Let me give you the comprehensive list. You ready for this? Daniel Parker, Blake Smith, Bauer Sharp, Will Huggins, Carson Kent. Everyone, like the entire Oklahoma fan base, I would say shares a pretty common sentiment about Bauer Sharp. And Bauer Sharp outproduced all four of those other guys combined on his own. So Oklahoma's gotten virtually nothing from portal tight ends throughout the Venables era. And three of those five, Kent, Sharp, and Huggins came from either the G5 ranks or the D2 ranks in Huggins' case. A fourth, Blake Smith, he was a walk-on at Texas A&M before transferring to Oklahoma. And so to get, like, Hayden Hansen by no means is an elite tight end nationally, but to get a guy who has started and produced at the Power 4 level, especially a guy who is 6'8", 270 pounds, and in many ways in the blocking department can function as an extra offensive lineman out there. If we're just talking value above what Oklahoma's brought in at his position in the recent past, like, Hayden Hansen is as big of an upgrade as Oklahoma has had anywhere throughout the Venables era when we're talking about portal pickups.
Yeah. Feel pretty good about OU's chances there. And look, the second he got in, I put a note up on OU Insider and said, look, this is a name that I've heard Oklahoma is in, you know, can be connected with down the line. And the further this has gone down, the more you you feel pretty good. The other one is, it was quite controversial on our site when I posted the Tucker Ashcraft from Wisconsin. And I hinted about him prior to him being in the portal. I said, look, this is a name that, or didn't hint about him individually. I just said, there's another Power Four guy out there that I think Oklahoma is going to be quite involved with. And the reason being is because they're, Hanson's athletic as hell, dude. Like, he's super athletic.
Yeah, very athletic.
Ashcraft is going to be that H-back, split zone, knock your head off type of tight end that Oklahoma loves. And they brought Caden Helms in quite a bit to do. He can catch the ball. He had some drops or whatever, but he was injured a lot of last year and came in and decided at the end of the day, Wisconsin wasn't playing for anything. He was going to go ahead and take his red shirt and try to save his year to go somewhere else. And it's worked out. I think there's a world where Oklahoma takes a third tight end, depending on how things shake out as far as retention goes. And we're going to get into that here in just a minute. But Hanson, you got Hayden Hanson, you got Tucker Ashcraft to start. If things keep trending the way we think they're going to trend with Oklahoma in the tight end, I don't know who the third one's going to be. I would imagine it's going to be kind of a combo guy that can do both fairly decent.
But you're saying three portal tight ends here.
Yeah, I think there's potential for that. Potential. What I was about to say, though, is I think Oklahoma feels really good about Trinae Washington. I was told he's close to 250 pounds now, if not over 250. And they said he is an absolute freakazoid. And we've talked about that before, how big of a freak athlete he is. He played corner in high school at 230 pounds, 6'4", 6'5", 230. Like, he's a freak. If he can become any sort of the player that they think he can become, tight ends start to look pretty good, Parker, especially when you add the likes of the 2026 class, right? I think the tight end room has kind of flipped on its head as far as athleticism goes, and you're starting to see what everybody envisioned and what probably George Finley was looking to have when he first took over the job.
And I know he doesn't get talked about, man, because he's always hurt. But I think it says a lot that when Cade McIntyre is healthy, he is out there on the field for Oklahoma and has been since he was a true freshman. So clearly that's a guy that they trust enough to work into the mix, provided he is able to shake free of the injury bug that has plagued him in all three of his seasons at OU thus far. So, I think tight end can turn into a strength. For Oklahoma, like, is that hyperbolic to say?
Don't
that
say that, Parker.
Could tight end turn into a genuine strength for Oklahoma if they push the right buttons in this portal cycle and piece together the right cast of characters for 2026? I think the potential is there.
It is. It is. I think it's going to be a good position for OU. I think the way Ben Arbuckle calls offense, you have to have good tight end play. And Jaron Kanick turned out to be a good tight end. What they did with Jaron Kanick shouldn't be considered any short of miraculous. 8 months, and the dude turned out to be one of the better tight ends in all the SEC. And he didn't play throughout his whole career. So I as much flack as Joe John Finley gets, I think he deserves credit for a lot of what Jaron Kanick turned into on the field for Oklahoma. Offensive line, though, they're going to get everybody back as far as starters go. That's at least what we're hearing at this point. Seems everybody's good to go, whether it's Jake Mikula, whether it's Michael Fasusi, Ryan Foje, whether it's Eddie Pierre-Louis. Like, it feels like things are moving in the right direction with offensive line. They got to find that other guard. Keith Ozida's still there. I still think they're going to try to go spend some good money and get an offensive guard that's going to come in and make an impact. And then I think you'll see some more offensive linemen hit the portal over the next week or two. And I think you'll see Oklahoma. Like, if you were to guess, would you say 3-4 offensive linemen out of the portal this year?
I think it depends on how many leave, and maybe that's a bit of a cop out, but we've seen Troy Everett and we've seen Jacob Sexton and Isaiah Autry-Dent announce that they are transferring. That's in addition to the losses of Derek Simmons and Fabechi Wiwu to graduation. So you're losing 5 at minimum, mm-hmm. Brandon. I'm curious to see what guys like Luke Baklanko and Logan Howland do, where, you know, maybe the door has fully closed on them having a path to a starting role at Oklahoma absent injuries ahead of them. Like, are those guys going to stick around, or are they going to choose to seek greener pastures when the portal window opens? So I would say right now there is need for 2 in the portal. Mm-hmm. Lose a Howland or a Baklanko, and then I think you're certainly looking at 3 minimum.
So if I was to tell you that Oklahoma at center, like, I think Owen Hollenbeck, I could see a world where it's iffy if he returns or not.
You know, I think, like, that would, if that were the case, that would be an OU decision as opposed to a Hollenbeck decision.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I would totally agree with that, actually. But I'm just saying, I could see a world where that's the case. What if I said, I've heard buzz of Ace Hodges moving to center? That actually tracked. It makes total sense. If you actually sit back and think about it, he was never going to get on the field at defensive tackle, right? Defensive. Mm-hmm. But he's athletic enough and big enough and smart enough to play center for Oklahoma.
He is. You just, especially given that he's a walk-on.
Probably
not counting on him. Or probably not. Probably don't want to be counting on him at any
totally
point.
Agree.
You're one of the center experiment. We can totally see agree. Where things are at in 2027, but don't know whether that's much of a relief for 2026 at that position. Although I do think, like, they want Noah Best to play center.
Yes.
That's where they're projecting Noah Best at. And I think Noah Best is going to be an awesome center.
I think he's going to be really, really good. He's a mauler. And that's what I love about him. And he's smart.
And if Noah Best is your backup center to Jake Mikula in 2026, if that's the world we're living in, I am more than okay with that.
He's originally from Owosso, for those that don't know.
Yes.
So he's an Okie at heart. Grew up at Owosso. What year did he move to Midlothian?
He was like 10.
Okay. The other thing is, you know, we talk running back, and I'm just going to say, like, there was some touch and go moments with a certain running back. I don't want to name names publicly, whether they were going to return or not. Sounds like things are good to go. So now, instead of maybe 2 running backs out of the portal, you're looking at one. And there is a report out there that Caleb Hawkins and Oklahoma are a thing, and Parker and I can sit here and tell you straight up, nope.
Folks, he is going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
You do not have to overthink this.
Yeah.
He is going to be an Oklahoma State cowpoke.
I'll just say what I was told. Like, everybody loved him, but for what Oklahoma needs at running back, now that they have basically everybody returning and you've got Hatton and all that type of stuff, they're looking for a scat back. They're looking for somebody that can come in and, if heaven forbid something was to happen to Torrey Blaylock, they have another change of pace guy for Xavier Robinson or Jonathan Hatton, the bigger backs. That guy right now feels like it's Colorado State's Loy Devon. So I'm trying to, can't remember his stats off the top of my head.
I have them for you right here.
946 all purpose.
Yes.
Six touchdowns.
And on the ground, 90 carries, 417 yards, five touchdowns, average of 4.6 yards per carry.
Yeah. I mean,
and he played at Tulsa in 2024, so he's been in the Sooner State before.
Again, this is a change of pace guy. Oklahoma's not they're not in the market for looking for a starting running back. They feel they have it on their roster with whoever it is. I think Jonathan Hatton plays and plays a lot in 2026.
It's hard not to have that expectation.
I mean,
he is very ready, and has been for a long time. The only question, and it's the question I've had with Hatton since he was a sophomore in high school. Like, what is the ceiling? Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident I know what the floor is. Like, he's a high floor player at the college level. I don't know what the ceiling is, but he is a high floor guy that will contribute as a true freshman.
And for those that are going, but running backs didn't do it. Look, the running backs were banged up last year because they didn't have any running backs to take any pressure off of Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock. They literally were playing banged up running backs all season. And OU fans, you should thank those two. Should thank those two, because in every other world, they don't play. If you're on another team, they don't play. But unfortunately for Oklahoma, you had a transfer portal guy that was supposed to be elite decide that he didn't want to play anymore, and Jaden Ott. Literally, I'm going to say it now that the damn season's over. He was asked to go and said no. He's saving his time. And you have Javonte Barnes, who publicly just did it, just said, yeah, I'm going to redshirt and transfer. Oh, you were screwed, Parker, at running. Like, they were screwed at running back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even feel sorry for Jaden Ott anymore. Like, that's something I held on to for a long time, and I know you've heard the story as well, but, like, come on, dude. I think the point of me giving a crap, Parker, was when we watched him at Alabama just not give two craps after the win. That was my time. It was just like, this guy just doesn't care. And he showed it time and time again. So you need to thank Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock, because they played through so much pain this year, like a lot of pain. They had no business playing.
Well, because if they didn't play, who was going to?
Yeah.
Nobody else.
You had your third string. Gabe Sawchuk was your third string at that point. And that, he's a walk-on. And he's a good player, but he was a walk-on. Like, you were literally asking a walk-on in that type of situation. Regardless of how good of a player he is. And he looked good in, like, the limited time that he got reps. So, but still, it's not right. But yeah, Lloyd Avant will be, I think he's a decent change of pace guy for Oklahoma if they can close that deal out. Linebacker, Parker. God, you got, first off, Kip Lewis. Things are trending well there. Are they trending well enough? We'll see. NFL money talks. And it talks a lot. Then you got the Owen Heineke situation.
The Owen Heineke situation, I think, has become the most fascinating ordeal of them all, because I think Isaiah Satania is coming back.
Yep.
At this point, I would be more surprised if Kip Lewis left than if he returned.
Yep.
The likelihood is that he returns. And so we all just kind of sit and wait for the decision from the NCAA with regard to the three games of lacrosse that Owen Heineke played back in 2021. Because apparently the NCAA will grant eligibility to any NBA flameout.
Thank you.
That has a desire to play college basketball these days. But a guy that played three games of lacrosse, an entirely different sport, at an entirely different school 4 years ago, can't get his well-deserved and very, very much desired final year of eligibility to play football at the school that he always dreamed of playing football at.
This is how stupid the NCAA is. This dude has a Senior Bowl invite. He's going to get picked because he's going to test out of the... I'm telling everybody, this dude is going to test off the charts. He's going to run in the 4.5s, 4.6s at 235, 240 pounds. He is a freak. He's going to test well in space. He's going to be able to cover in space. Everything that you do at a combine, strength, speed, agility, Owen Heineke is going to blow their mind. And he's been taught by Brent Venables at linebacker, right? Wes Goodwin, James Skalski, right? Nate Dreiling, like all those guys have taught, like elite linebacker coaches have taught this dude for 4 years. He's going to make money, and yet he wants to come back. That's how much he loves the university, and the NCAA is sitting there going, I don't know about that. And yet you got a dude that played actual minutes in a damn NBA game, and they're going to give him a potential waiver once he decides where he wants to go? What? Like, that's... We're lost, Parker. So lost. NCAA sports are lost. I think college football should just split from the NCAA, but that's a topic for a whole other day.
We're already basically halfway there. So
we are halfway there. It's just stupidity. I kind of think because of that, the NCAA kind of knows they don't have a leg to stand on. I would be shocked if they didn't, wouldn't you, if they didn't give Owen Heineke his waiver or his eligibility at this point? If you're going to be hearing out dudes from the NBA, you don't have a leg to stand on.
The OU staff should march on NCAA headquarters in Indianapolis if Owen Heineke doesn't get his extra year of eligibility. Because there's like, you can't rationalize, you can't defend it if Owen Heineke's final year of eligibility in football is disallowed because he played three games of lacrosse in 2021.
Three games of college football.
With all of the provisions that have been made to other student athletes for borderline legitimate reasons, how can you not extend an extra year of eligibility? Not even an extra year of eligibility, a fifth year of football eligibility, which everyone has, to a player that, okay, he's technically used five seasons of athletic eligibility, but one of those seasons was used in an entirely different sport and very minimally at that, mm-hmm. at an entirely different school. And as Heineke himself referenced after the college football playoff matchup, this is not a guy who's seeking a payout. This is not a guy who... you know, is hitting the portal one final time to try and earn a big payday, yep. as you see so many guys do with their sixth and seventh years these days. No, it's a guy that walked on at his dream school, had to fight for everything he got, had to cheat the system in practice, had to go steal reps and occasionally piss Brent Venables off just to work his way into the rotation. And then once he did, emerged as maybe the biggest and most heartwarming surprise of the 2025 season for Oklahoma. If you're going to tell that guy that he can't play a fourth season of college football, that he can't use his fifth year after not participating, after redshirting in 2022, what are we doing, Brandon? What are we doing?
Diego Pavia gets to do it in JUCO. Does he get another year after this year? He's actually trying to get it, isn't he?
Oh, of course he is. But, you know, he's 5'9" and change. He's not a guy that has much of a future at the next level. And I think he understands that. So, hey, as long as you can exploit the system, by all means, exploit the system. But let's all I'm asking is that we can be consistent in allowing athletes to exploit the system.
Yeah,
we're going to give a sixth year to Diego Pavia because he played a year at a military institute back in 2020. Why can't we give a sixth year to Owen Heineke because he played lacrosse at Ohio State back in 2021?
And three, like you said three games. You understand, people understand like three games allows mm-hmm. you to keep your, like, what are we talking about? If Kip Lewis and Owen Heineke come back, I can How do I want to word this? I think there's a pretty decent chance that you might see a portal addition or two for Oklahoma, because there are guys that are waiting on the decisions for those two to decide whether they're going to return or not. Because it's not about money. It's about playing time. And I'll just say this. I think Sammy Omosigo is one of those guys that's sitting around going, when am I going to get my chance? He's going to be a senior next year, Parker. I guess you could redshirt him. That way you could have him one final. And I know that's been a topic of discussion with him, is we'll get you your four games and then we'll allow you to play in the postseason because we're going to need you. But in between those, you're probably just going to have to sit back and wait your turn if those two return. That's the best case scenario for Oklahoma, because you would want Sammy Omosigo to return. If you're that would alleviate a lot of the portal talk in 2027 if that was to take place with Sammy Omosigo, because you would have a guy returning that knows the system, could be the leader of the linebackers, because Sammy is a leader. And I think that's something people love about him. So if you're an OU fan, the fingers crossed that even if you get Owen Heineke and Kip Lewis back, that you can somehow keep Sammy Omosigo around long enough that where he can redshirt and return in 2027. Trying to think who else at linebacker, because they're going to have to go grab a linebacker. What are some of the names you've heard at linebacker, I guess, as far as portal goes?
Can we revisit that conversation this coming weekend?
Fair enough.
I think the big one is a guy that isn't in the portal yet.
Fair enough. So kind of like the other wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wait and see. The other two wide receivers that we've heard, it's a wait and see. Yep. Fair enough. I don't think anybody was shocked about the Marcus Wimberly entrance into the portal just because of the rotation, but you hate to see it because he's a good kid. He's a really good athlete. And I think down the line, Oklahoma, he was going to play at OU. It just wasn't going to happen this year, and maybe not even next year because of how deep Oklahoma was at safety. They've had to work really, really hard to keep Amarion Robinson. I mean, really, really hard. So many people want that dude, particularly the University of Arkansas. I'll say, I mean, like, in the agent world, like, that's just the way it works. That's how they have to go through. But he is a highly sought-after guy because there's a lot of high expectations. Same way with Jaden Hardy. Like, we have sit here and thought for the longest time that we would not be shocked if Jaden Hardy got in the portal, right? And it still hasn't happened, Parker.
Mm-hmm.
It still hasn't happened. Kudos to the OU front office for at least dragging this thing out and making these kids think, right? Because if you lost just one of those two, that would be a hit that you just can't, you don't want, nor do you need as safety. Have you heard any buzz about corner?
Not a ton of it.
Do you think OU takes anybody?
I think it depends on whether they lose anybody. Because again, as of now, heard buzz about this guy and that guy. Yeah. And maybe he enters the portal. Maybe he enters the portal, but nothing concrete yet.
Yeah.
So they don't really need a cornerback as things stand. They would only need a cornerback if they lost a cornerback.
Yeah, and I don't even think, even with the loss of Marcus Wimberly, I don't think you need a safety, particularly if you return Jaden Hardy and Amarion Robinson. Man.
I'd agree.
I think you're good to go. Good to go. Because I think your two guys that you have, obviously you have Reggie Powers, but I think Reggie Powers can play that cheetah position just as well as he can play safety. Michael Boganowski and Peyton Bowen are going to be two of the best safeties in the SEC next year. I'm calling it. I know that's not really like a hot take, but I think Michael Boganowski is going to be elite, elite, elite. So do you think there will be any big news on the portal front for Oklahoma over the next 4 or 5 days?
I think things could be done pretty quickly with Hayden Hansen.
I agree with
if
that.
If I were betting on who Oklahoma's first portal addition was, I would probably bet on Hansen right now.
Yep. Yeah. Totally agree with that. I would think I have been told that he and Ashcraft are basically moving in a very, very strong direction. So, yeah. All right. Did we miss anything on the retention part?
I don't think so. Shoot, you get Kip Lewis, you get Isaiah Satania back. Two huge wins. Now, I think the last thing that remains is you got to lock things down with Tate Sandell. Make sure your kicker's back in 20.
Wow. Didn't even think about that.
Uh-huh. Man, he was probably good for an extra 2 or 3 wins for Oklahoma this season. You saw what an impact he could make for a team that plays the style of football Oklahoma plays and a team that plays and is going to play so many close games in a conference like the SEC. So, Satania, great if he returns. Kip Lewis, awesome if he returns. Last piece of the puzzle in the retention department feels like Tate Sandell. Just make sure he runs it back. You're good to go, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is going to do it for this version of the OU Insider and the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. There is a 50% off right now. Transfer portal promo going on right now. You get OU Insider plus 80 plus. What I mean by 80 plus? 80 plus different On3 sites. If you go sign up right now, you type in OUinsider.com in your URL code. Click that join now. You get 50% off. Literally, transfer portal, like, promo going on, 50% off. Regularly priced about $119.99, you'll get it for $59.99. It is an amazing, amazing deal. Totally worth it. We are going to have so much content coming on. A lot of stuff that we've hinted on here, and we've said, well, we've got to wait for this or that. A lot of that content's over there on OU Insider. Like, we will give our members a lot of the tea, like you guys like to say, that we can't say here publicly because it needs to be behind a paywall. And it also helps us quite a bit. It allows us to do, like, much like subscribing to this YouTube channel, the subscriptions over there allow us to do so much stuff that we can't do without you guys. The content we bring to you guys, the travel that we do as far as going to all the camps and all that, like, you guys help us out immensely to help you guys out. And we do this because of you. And we're so blessed to be able to do this another year, doing this as, you know, the year ends. We thank you guys so very, 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 very much for everything that you guys have done for us. Right now, half off over there at OU Insider. Hope to see you guys over there. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of OU fans over there right now. The board has been crazy the last few days, and it's been fun. This time of year is the best. So again, 50% off. Type in OUinsider.com in your URL code and join us now. We would love to have you guys on there. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Subscribe to whatever podcasting platform you're listening to us on. Give us 5 stars. Give us likes, thumbs up. Hype this YouTube up, please. Thank you very much. Helps us with algorithm. Now, the more you subscribe to this, it's free. Doesn't do anything. It's free, no cost. The more it helps us as well with sponsors and stuff like that to keep bringing free content to you guys if that's the route you guys so choose. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. We guys hope you guys have a happy, happy new year and hope you guys have had a Merry Christmas and happy holidays. From OU Insider to you, you guys have a blessed day.